Mahavijay Mahadwasi Bratta Ki Jai. Kamanadev Avirbhav Titi Mahotsava Ki Jai. O Keshava, who assumed the wonderful form of a dwarf Brahmin, Brahmachari. O Jagadish, O Hari, who steal away your devotees' false egos. That's a very nice translation. All glories to you, because at the time of measuring the earth, you deceived Bali Maharaj with your massive steps by the Ganga water which emanates from the toenails of your lotus feet. You purify all the residents of the world. Janita Javan Jana Pavana. Purify everyone. So there are many wonderful blessings. We're going to worship Vamanadeva tonight. He's appeared on the altar in his beautiful brahmachari form. Vaman means 52. He's 52 inches tall. 4.5 feet is 48 inches. Because he says he's dwarf. Dwarf means short.
Yes.
He's a brahmachari.
Yes.
So vaman means vaman. He's 4 feet tall and 4 inches. So he's a dwarf. So we have some nice, we collected some beautiful shastras to read about his glories. Srimad Bhagavatam and Hari Bhakti Vilas. And it's called Parivartani Ekadasi. Parivartan means a turn. Turn over. Pavitri Ekadasi. It's called Vijay Mahadwadasi when it's Shravanakshatra, like tonight, it's Shravanakshatra. And he appears in Shravanakshatra. So this is very, very rare. Very, very rare. Especially in India. It's only very, very. Other places it's very rare, but here it's very, very. So here it's called Pavitra. So we'll read from the Ekadasi Mahatmyam, and then we'll hear about some of the other glories of this Ekadasi. Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Krishna, Madhusudan, please tell me the glories of this Ekadasi. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, this sacred Ekadasi is called Pavitra. Destroys all one's sinful reactions. By hearing the glories of this Ekadasi, one obtains the result of a Vajpayee. Vajpayee sacrifice. In the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, there was a king named Mahijit. He ruled the kingdom of Mahishmatipuri. He had no sons, and consequently he was unhappy while conducting his activities. A married man who has no son has no happiness, either in this life or the next. Is that right? For many years the king... But you have Gopal. You have Gopal, right? For many years the king tried to get a son, but he was not fortunate enough to get a jewel-like son who would give him all pleasure. One day, realizing his pathetic condition, the king called all his subjects, whom he treated as his children, to the royal assembly, and he said to them, "Oh, dear subjects, oh, Priya Praja, I have never committed any sinful activity in my life. I did not increase my treasury by unlawfully earning wealth. I did not plunder the wealth of brahmanas and the demigods. Rather, I have conquered the world by following the proper code of conduct. I have maintained all of you like my own children. I have never hesitated toward punishment, even to my dear ones, like my brother. I'd like to. And relatives, according to their faults. And I have shown due respect even to my enemy if he was gentle and pious. O Brahmanas, in spite of traveling on a religious path like this, I have no son. Please consider this carefully and advise me what to do." After hearing the lamentation of their king, the Brahman advised them, they discussed among themselves. They said, "Listen, we have to take this to higher authorities. We don't have the answers, so we're going to the sages who have the knowledge." Those Grihastha Brahmins are a little slow. You have to go to the rishis, vairagis in the forest to get the right answer. So they went to visit the ashramas of the great sages who know the Bhrigu Samhita. They went to Rajasthan. After entering the forest and wandering here and there, they came across the ashram of great sages. Finally, they met Loma Sharishi. Do you know about Loma Sharishi? Every time a hair falls off his body, one hair falls off his head every day of Brahma. So for one hair on his head, he lives for 310 billion years. Every time a hair falls off, you can live so long. So he's up there. He was engaged in severe austerities. His body was spiritual, full of bliss, and he strictly observed the vow of fasting. He is self-controlled. He knew the science of eternal religious Nitya Dharma. And he was a Tattvagyani. He lived as long as Brahma, and he was an effulgent saint. When a kalpa of Brahma passes, one hair, which means loma, he was a hair rishi. He was a hairy rishi. Enchanted by this great sage, the advisors of the king offered obeisances and spoke with humility. O great sage, due to our great fortune, we have met a great soul like you. The rishi replied, Who are you? Why have you come here? Why are you praising me like this? The Brahmins replied, O great sage, we have come to you to solve our dilemma. O Lord, O Maharishi, our king, Mahijit, has no sons. We are his subjects. We are treated by the king as his own children, yet we are feeling disturbed on seeing the distress of our dear king. O best of the Brahmins, we want to strictly undergo austerity here. It is a good fortune of the king that we have met a great personality like you. By the darshan of a great personality, a man certainly attains all perfections. Please instruct us in a way to our sonless king can have a son. After hearing the sincere prayers, the sage Lomas entered into samadhi. And then he understood the previous life of the king. Then he said, Previously your king was a poor Vaishya, a merchant. He committed a sinful deed. Do you know what it was? Once while traveling from village to village in the course of his business as a poor Vaishya, with a poor business, he became overwhelmed. He became overwhelmed with thirst. In other words, he became thirsty. It was noon in midday of Dwadasi in July. He found a beautiful lake and decided to drink. At that time, a cow with a newborn baby was drinking water. When that Vaishya approached, he drove away the cow and drank the water himself. As a result of preventing a thirsty cow from drinking water, that Vaishya businessman committed a grave sin. And because of this, he has been born as a king by the influence of his piety. But because of this sin, he was a good Vaishya, gave so much charity and dana and supporting, helping Brahmins and all these things. But because he became elevated from Vaishya to king, from king to Brahmin, from Brahmin to Grihastha Brahmin, then Vanaprastha Brahmin, then Sannyasi Brahmin, then Sannyasi and Sannyasi and Sannyasi, then finally Prem Prapti, Mukti Prapti. It's like this generally. But he made this sin of this aparata, the cow. On hearing the words of the great sage, the king's advisor said, O great sage, by the influence of piety, all one's sinful reactions are counteracted. Please, therefore, instruct us in a way that all the sinful reactions of our dear king will be destroyed and he can obtain a son. The great sage Lamasha replied, there is a famous auspicious Ekadasi known as Pavitra Ekadasi coming in the Shukla Paksha of Bhadramas. You should all fast on that day and give the Sukriti that you have collected from your tapasya of observing this Ekadasi and offer it to your king. By following my instruction, your king will certainly be blessed with a son. Thus spoke the sage. All the king's advisors became happy and satisfied, offered their obeisances, returned home. They met the king, told him the news. When the time arrived, they told him what to do. He observed the vow. And on Dwadasi, which was tomorrow, they gave away all the Sukriti they got to the king. And by the Prabhav, the Sukriti Prabhav, Tapabalam, the queen became pregnant in due course of time, 9 months to be exact. The queen gave birth to a beautiful son. Oh, King Yudhisthira, said Krishna, anyone who observes this sacred Ekadasi is relieved of sinful reactions and becomes happy now and in the next life. One who hears the glories of this Ekadasi attains the happiness derived from having a son without having to go through the trouble. And then he goes back to Godhead in the next life just by hearing it. So that can imply that a brahmachari can also hear it. And that would certainly be the right way to go. Hear the glories of this Ekadasi, forego the son program, and get the benefit of that, happiness of having no son. Happiness of having no son, which is seems to be more happy. That sounds better. That's what Krishna is saying. And then go back to God in next life. Because if you have the happiness of having a son, you may become attached to the son. At the time of death, you may chant prasad instead of Govinda prasad. So this is the story of this Ekadasi. Now, anyone who observes this wonderful brat, he gets wonderful benefits, which Sanatana Goswami is explaining in the Hari Bhakti Vilas in the 15th chapter. So we can hear about some of those boons, because these carrots dangling in front of our faces may keep us walking like the horse. They keep him running down the road by holding some grass in front of him with the hope of getting some grass. We're hoping that we'll be inspired by these various boons and benedictions, and we can see that here. Then we'll read from the Bhagavatam. Verse 544. This prapte bhadra pade masi ekadashyam site hani kati dhanam bhavet vishnur mahapatakam nashanam. 15th vilas, verse 544, bhavishyottara aparan. Anyone observes this festival, utsav, of parshva parivartan. Parivartan means for 2 months, which I've passed already, the demigods, they sleep on their right side. Now they wake up because of all this chanting and all these things going on down here. And then they roll over. There's so many dogs barking here. And then they wake up and then they roll over. Today it's a rolling day. So they roll over. And the Lord Vishnu rolls over also onto their left sides. And then they observe 2 months sleeping on their left side. In terms of calculation, it's only 8 hours of their time. We also sleep for 8 hours, or roughly, or something like that. So some time on one side we sleep 3-4 hours, and 3-4 hours on the other side, like the demigods. But the time is different. Our 4 months is their, whatever, 8 hours. Basically, that's how it works. 4 months of our time is 8 hours of their time. There's a whole festival which we'll observe during Manasa Puja of rolling over Lord Vishnu. Verse 550. These are the boonies. The merit of performing pious acts or yagas or homas on this day, anything you do, any pious sukriti you do on this day is magnified 100,000 times.
Jai.
So the greatest pious act, the greatest homa or yagya is Sankirtan Yagya. What's that verse? It talks about Sankirtan Yagya in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Krishna Varnam, Trisa Krishnam, Sango Panga Shaparshnam, Yagya Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Samedasha. Kirtan Yagya, Sankirtan Yagya. So this is the greatest of all yagyas, the greatest of all pujas, to do Sankirtan. There's no greater Sukriti. It's actually not even Sukriti. It begins with as Sukriti and ends up as Shuddha Bhakti. Beginning at Sukriti, to purify anyone who takes part in Sankirtan Yagya, attains Sukriti, becomes purified and attached and increases his faith and detachment and attachment to Krishna. As he becomes more and more purified of all his Parabdha and Aparabdha, and then the pure name descends into his heart, and he chants the Shuddha Nam. Then it becomes Bhakti, pure devotional service. That chanting, that yagya performed on this particular day on Mahavijay Mahadwadasi Brat of Vaman Mahadwadasi gives one 100,000 times benefit of any other day or any other titi. But to speak of artik, puja, puja is also a pious activity, punya, archanam. We'll be doing artiks and offerings, etc. to Vamana Dev. So that's text 550, text 552. Sangame sarita punye dvadeshim tamupa oposhita. Haplavad eva chapnoti dvadasha dvadashi phalam. By observing fast and bathing at the confluence of Shyamakund and Radhakund on Shravan Dwadashi, one obtains the merit of following 12 Dwadashis. It just says the Sangam of two rivers. So for us, the Sangam is two Kundas, Shri Kund and Krishna Kund. Shri Kunda ki, Krishna Kunda ki jai, Shri Krishna Kunda ki jai. There's only one step to the ocean of nectar. One step to the ocean of Shamras and one step to the ocean of Radharas. Like they have these books, 7 steps to heaven or 9 steps to success. But here in Radhakund, the ocean of Ras is all the way up. There's only one, it's only one step away from your heart. And the ocean of Krishna Ras is only one step away from your heart. Boom, you're in. Dandabhats, one step. Nittai Gaur Radhisham, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Swimming in the ocean. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Text 552, we read that. 554. Archayit dvachutam bhaktya labet punyam dash abdikam phalam datta hutanam cha. Tasyam laksha ganam bhavet. One who worships Lord Achyuta with love and devotion on this day of Shravan Mahadwadashi achieves the Sukriti of worshipping the Supreme Lord for 10 years. Giving charity, performing yagya, Sankirtan yagya, awards 100 times more merit. So this is saying 100. That previous prana was That was Skanda Puran. The previous Puran was Lavishyotar Puran. So that sounds like a better Puran to read. He had 100,000 times. Now text 556. Don't miss this now. You listening? Prayachati Shubham Shubham Shuban Kaman Vamano Manasi Stitan Vijaya Namasa Prokta Titi, titi, piti, kari hare. So it's called Vijay. Vijay, Mahavijay, actually, in a Hindi panchayat, it says Mahavijay, Mahadwadasi Brat. If Lord Vamanadev is worshipped on this day, he fulfills all the desires of his worshippers. Prayachati Shuban Kam, Prayachati Shuban Kaman. Vamano manasi stitan. Vijay Nam Titi Priti Titi Priti. It's a very dear Titi to Lord Hari. Manasi Stitan. Manasi Stitan. So this, we will fix Lord Vamanadeva in our minds and do Manasik Puja. There are some elaborate descriptions here describing making a murti out of gold or silver or sand on the bank of a river. But none of us have that facility. But we all have minds, and we can sculpt our minds into the form of Vamanadeva. And he's depicted there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can open the eighth canto of Bhagavatam. Wherever you are, get an eighth canto of Bhagavatam, open it to the picture section, then get some clothespins or something and hold the pages down and put it on your altar and hold it in front of everyone. And then they can do puja. Here we will do manasik puja of the 16 offerings. And externally we'll offer some incense and agarbati, some kaffir lamps and ghee lamps, and some aguru kaffir lamps. And everyone will offer agarbati. So we'll do external, internal puja to the manasik murti and the chitra murti of Vamanadeva. This is this Ekadasi is known as Vijay Mahadwadasi, and it's Priti Hari, Hari Priti, very dear to Hari. Hari Bhakti Vilas is telling in other places that there are four Ekadasis in the year which all Vaishnavas should observe without fail. And the first one is the Shayan Ekadasi. It should be according to the Shastras, one should do Nirjal and stay up all night. If he cannot do Nirjal, he should fast till sunset, take fruits, and stay up all night. Jagran is required. These are three that require Jagran. Shayan Ekadasi, the first Ekadasi, to begin Chaturmasya, the midway of Chaturmasya, Parivartan, Parshva, Pavitra, Ekadasi. It's always called Parshva, it's always called Pavitra, it's always called Parivartan Ekadasi. But this year is very special because it's called Mahavijay, Mahavijay Mahadwadasi, because right now Shravan Nakshatra is running. Shravan Nakshatra started at a particular time, which we can't let a day go by without looking at this, since last life I probably was a Jyotishi. Good chance of that. So the Krishna conveniently took away that appetite so I could do bhakti. That's Uttarish said it goes to 11. From 11 o'clock on into sunrise, this is Shravan Nakshatra. Very auspicious nakshatra. And Vamanadeva appears in Shravan Nakshatra. So when Shravan Nakshatra appears in the night, then Vamanadeva should be worshipped in the night. If it appears in the day, it'll be over tomorrow. So sunrise tomorrow will be Shravan Nakshatra, then it will end in the morning. Shravan Nakshatra ends 8 o'clock, on the 8th, 9th, tomorrow's 9th. I stand corrected. Ends at midnight, 12:23. So you can also do puja tomorrow, which is anyone has shalagrams. They can worship their shalagrams tonight or tomorrow morning. So we're all together, so we're worshiping tonight collectively. This is very, very special. That was text 556. Now text 568 is also the boons, blessings. Masi Bhadra Pade Shukla Dwadashi Shravan. Shamananvita Sarva Kama Prada Punya Upavase Mahafala. The Shravanik Dwadashi of the fortnight of the waxing moon in the month of Bhadra tonight fulfills all one's desires. So that's twice we heard about all of our desires become fulfilled. So we should formulate our desires and concentrate and focus our desires into one desire. We have lots of desires, no doubt. So we really don't want all our desires fulfilled. We just want one desire fulfilled. And we should hone our desires into one perfect desire. And that becomes our life's long sankalpa. While chanting, while doing puja, while praying, while doing prakrama. And a general prayer from many of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, following the line of Rupanuga Vaishnavas, following Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri, is their soul, their only desire is to attain the eternal service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in the groves of Vrindavan. That's the all-consuming fixation of the mind of a Rupanuga Raghunuga Vaishnava. And even more, you can say, my only ambition and desire in life is to attain the service of the service of the service of the servants of Sri Rupa Manjari. Because then you're in line of your Guru Varg, your Guru Sakhi. Prabhupada Sakhi name, which sincere advanced sadhakas will realize in their meditation. That will be revealed one way or the other. And then Param Guru Sakhi, and like this. As I mentioned in one class in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are many gurus even living today or have lived recently that reveal everything to their disciples through the heart. Have you heard that class? It's about 2 days ago. The guru simply does bhajan and he gives classes, and then the devotees have any questions, he says, you chant japa, you'll get the answer in your heart. Everything in your heart. All answers to all your questions. And he has lots of disciples. And they're all very well situated. So this possibility is there. That whole class is there. Guru's in the heart, super souls in the heart. Guru is super soul is guru. Chaitya Guru is the internal life. The super soul within giving internal life. When the super soul comes out, Chaitya Guru comes out as the Mahanta Guru or the Diksha Guru, he gives external life. Chaitya means life. Chaitya Guru in the heart gives life and the Diksha Guru gives life. Dvija. Dvija means birth, janma. Now we're basically, until we're born, till we take birth from Guru, we're basically dead. God is dead. The atheists in the West, they preach God is dead. And for everyone that doesn't have diksha, God is dead. Basically. Because they have not awakened their relationship with God by surrendering diksha. It's beginning. Initiation. Beginning. Beginning of what? Life. What life? Spiritual life. Jivatma. Okay, temporarily, but then no, don't slip into the fish from that. See it? Strict surveillance. Need a stick. Where's Tom? Fulfills, so we have to have one desire, because this Ekadasi fulfills all desires. And we earn immense pleasure. So ask yourself, what do you want? What is your goal in life? What is your prayojan? Why are you chanting? Why are you meditating? Why are you doing puja? Why you want to be a devotee? Why you surrender? What's the purpose of life? What is your ultimate vision of yourself? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do when you get there? Oh, I want to go to Hawaii. What will we do when you get there? Oh, I'll do this. I'll go here. I'll see that. You have a whole list of itinerary. What you'll do when you go to some place. Well, we'll eat in this restaurant and we'll go here and we'll do this and that. All right, we're going to Vrindavan, the supreme eternal home. What will you do when you get there? What do you want to do? Fix your goal. That's sankalpa. Oh, wait a minute. This is text. Next one is 655. It's like you get on a ship, you get on a sailboat, and there's no rudder. There's no like little fin in the water. Where will you go? The wind is blowing, you'll just go around in circles. Lots of noise, lots of wind, big arrangement. big arrangement, big boat, cabin, this, that, all kinds of staples and food and dry food and all kinds of things. But then you're just, you know, the wind's blowing, the sails are open, the big sail, big beautiful sailboat, sails are open. There's no rudder to fix your course, to control the wind. Big arrangement, big noise, wind's blowing. Even you may have a motor. You have sailboats have motors also. They have a motor, but there's no rudder. You won't be able to get anywhere. Fix the direction. So this text 656 says, if one donates the fruit of this vow to his parents, he delivers his entire family and becomes free from his debt to his father. Debt to the father, of course, everyone, when a son has a debt to his father, but when one becomes a devotee, of course, he's absolved from all his debts. That's told by Devarshi Bhutatan in Inpratinam, in 11th canto by Rishi Narad. That Petri and Rina and Deva and Rishi, Petri and Rina, and living entities, if one becomes a Shuddha Bhakta, sometimes one sees in their chart there are particular constellations and stars that indicate some karma with father, debt from last life. In this life, when one is born as a son, he has a debt in this life to also produce a son, get married and produce a son. That's part of paying his debt back. And also being a good son and so many other things. Pujas and doing Shraddh and Pinda for his deceased father, but also producing a son to continue the dynasty. That's part of the debt. And even looking after and maintaining that also may be there. But if one becomes a devotee, then he's free from all those debts. So maybe he doesn't have a son, but then he's a devotee, so there's no debt. But then, carrying over from last life, there may be a debt from the father. It's called father's debts, daughter's debts, sister's debts. They have these combinations like this. And then there are particular prayaschitta and pujas you do to absolve that. You've heard about this?
Rin mochan. Rin. That is called rin.
Yeah, rini.
Rin mochan.
Yeah, Rini Mocha means free from the debts to the ancestors. So there's different pujas and stotrams and whatnot you do. So the whole in one shot is to chant Hare Krishna, take Gaudiya Vaishnava Diksha, and go back home, back to Godhead. And automatically, if you go back to Godhead, you liberate 11 generations of your ancestors. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. Text 656. There is nothing more sanctified than this great vow. In the Shastra, no other vow has been mentioned as equal to the vow of Vijay Brat. Did you hear that? There's so many Bratas, Bratotsavas, so many fastings, and there's Chandrayana Brat for 2 weeks, there's Chaturmasya for 4 months, there's Harivasa for 1 day. There's so many Bratas, Payo Brat for 1 year, that Devahuti, I think, did this Payo Brat. And who is the Aditi, the mother of Vamanadeva is Aditi in Kashyap. But there's these breaths of 1 year and 1 month and four months and 1 month and 2 weeks and 1 day. But of all those breaths that are mentioned, because they're all mentioned in Shastra, no other vow has been mentioned equal to the vow of this Vijay, Maha Vijay Mahadvadasi Brat Ki Jai. Which is today. It's called Shravan Mahadvadasi also. So this is, we're all fortunate, we're gathered together to hear about this vow and to try to observe it with the good wishes of each other, and we're all praying for each other's success in the undertaking of this vow. And of course, to begin any vow we begin by offering prostrated obeisances at the feet of Sri Guru and begging for Sri Guru's mercy and blessings that we can fulfill the vow. So if one is in the presence of the Guru, then that's all the better. But we are begging our Gurudev. It's not that implied that it has to be done like that. Obviously, one has already paid obeisances upon seeing the Guru, we would hope so. So Guru Sangha is the access to Krishna's mercy. So all these vows and brathas and whatnot, when one does yagyas and pujas and homas in their house, then the guru is the Brahman. The Brahman is the guru for the Varnas. And he comes and he does. So when the Brahman comes, all the people offer obeisances to the Brahman. And then he worships Ganesh. And then they do puja to the Brahman. They worship the Brahman with flowers and rice and arti to the Brahman. Then he sits down and conducts the puja. Then he collects his dakshina, his donations. And then that's the worship is completed. Krishna is pleased. And then the phal or the fruits or result comes. So this is the same line of thought. So that concludes. Oh, now there's... There's nothing more sanctified or purifying than this vow. Pavanataram. Na pavanataram kinchit. Atak param ihochyate. Vijaya bratatulyam cha na param paripatyate. There's nothing more sanctified than this great vow. In the Shastra, no other vow has been mentioned as equal to the vow of Vijay Brat. Jai Ho. Text 658 says, Prapya Vishnu Paramarajan. Anyone who observes this great vow with devotion goes to Vishnupur. Vaikuntha Dham Aki, Rajadham Aki Jai. So there's to start this vow. Now we're going to start the vow, this puja of Vamana Dev together, so everyone can repeat after me. Ekadashyam,
Ekadashyam,
Nirahara,
Nirahara.
Stitva,
Stitva,
Shaivapare,
Shaivapare,
Hani,
Hani,
Bokshe,
Bokshe,
Shri,
Shri,
Vamana,
Vamana,
Ananta,
Ananta,
Sharanagata,
Sharanagata,
Vatsala,
Vatsala,
O Lord Vamana Dev,
O Lord Vamana Dev,
O Ananta,
O Ananta.
O protector of the surrendered souls.
O protector of the surrendered soul.
Actually, Sharanagata Vatsala means, O one who is very affectionate and kind to the surrendered souls. Sharanagata Vatsala. Please be the goal of my worship.
Please be the goal of my worship.
Haribol. Jaiho. So that's the starting mantra. This is in verse 5:45. We're supposed to meditate that. It says mentally. So this verse is telling 5:45, 15th vilas. Prapte bhadra pade maasi ekadashyam site hani kati danam bhavid vishnur mahapatakanashanam. On this day of Parshva Parivartan, well, this ritual can this observance can destroy all one's sins. Jala Shayantikam Nitwa Samyag Abhyarchya Prabhum Karnika Parivritim Cha Dakshini Ange Prakalpayat. As observing the Shayan Utsav of the Lord, we should take the deity to a reservoir of water and worship him. So in the watery regions of our minds, we can take the Lord there. And then it says here, we should mentally turn the Lord on the other side as he lay in bed. Because the original Lord sleeps in a water bed. It's not actually a water bed per se, but so he sleeps on Ananta Shesh, who's floating on the ocean. Which ocean is that? Yeah, in our universe it's Shiradakshaya Vishnu. We're the lucky one because our Vishnu is sleeping in an ocean of sweet rice. Our Shiradakshaya took that milk and turned it into kheer. Yeah. So now we've rolled over Vishnu, so now wait a minute, we rolled him over but we didn't chant the mantra. Uh-huh. So now we rolled back the other way. We have to roll again. You ready?
Yes.
One, two, three. Deva Deva Jagannath,
Deva Deva Jagannath,
Yogi Gamya Niranjana,
Yogi Gamya Niranjana,
Kati Danam Kurushwadya,
Kati Danam Kurushwadya,
Masi Bhadra Pade Shube,
Masi Bhadra Pade
Shube. O Supreme Lord,
O Supreme Lord,
O Lord,
O Lord,
who is realized by the perfect yogis.
Realized by the perfect yogis.
O uncontaminated personality of Godhead.
O uncontaminated personality of Godhead.
Please turn over. Please turn over.
Please turn over.
On your side.
On your side.
On this auspicious day of the month of Bhadra.
On this auspicious day of the month of Bhadra.
It's interesting. We're putting the Lord to sleep and we're all staying awake.
Yeah.
We've just rolled Vishnu over from his right side to his left side. Now he's going to sleep. But don't anybody follow his example. So Vishnu is in his happy repose, as they say. We've mentally worshipped him by putting him to sleep. We read the boons of observing this vrata, which comes very rarely, this particular Shravan Nakshatra. It's called Mahavijaya Mahadwadasi Vrata. All one's desires can be fulfilled by observing this Ekadasi. It's Mahadwadasi Vrata because it's Shravan Nakshatra, which is very rare. It's the actual star which Vamana appeared under. And we're going to offer incense. We offered incense already. We'll offer three different ghee lamps to the Lord and some other things. Mentally we can offer argyam. Everybody will going to offer argya to the Lord, okay? Argya is an auspicious substance. It's mixed in water and then the water is poured in a conch shell. Most of the puja, we have a picture of Vamanadeva on the altar on the right-hand side. That's Vamanadeva, the dwarf brahmachari. So we offered incense, now we're going to offer a ghee lamp, and then we'll offer camphor, a camphor lamp, and then we'll offer camphor with aguru oil sprinkled on the camphor. And now we'll offer argya. Argya is water and different spices and auspicious items mixed in the water. Now water is actually poured over the head. We were reading the other day. It's auspicious to greet a traveler who's been traveling on the road, a Brahmin or some other person. And it's offered, of course, in puja to the Lord. And so it's offered poured on the head. So I don't know how, I guess all those things bounce off your head. Or sometimes they put, rice grains inside that water, complete rice without the husk, like right from the field. You see wheat growing in a field, break it off. So there's rice like that. It has the green thing, and inside, that's the husk, and inside, way inside is a little gaon berry, wheat berry, wheat germ. So that's mixed in there, and jaifal and nutmeg and different things. And the particular argya that's recommended here is shredded coconut. Sometimes we do that. Shred coconut on Janmashtami and other times. Shred coconut, mix it in water, and put it in a conch shell and offer it to the Lord. So we're going to mentally, all of us, offer that argya.
Right.
So ring that bell over there, little one. And the mantra is idam, idam argyam.
Idam argyam.
Kling. Vamanaya.
Vamanaya.
Namaha.
Namaha.
And inside our mental conch shell is some shredded coconut and some water. And we're pouring it over his head while the bell is ringing. Idam argyam.
Idam argyam.
Kling Vamanaya Namaha.
Vamanaya Namaha.
Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The Argyam. Idam Argyam. Vamanadeva Ki Jai. So now we've greeted him with auspicious articles. This is Manasik Puja. With some drama. Usually Manasik Puja is all mental, no picture, everything's in the mind. Picture in your mind, mental picture. Sri Vamanadeva, he is a very showing the clever nature of Krishna. Every avatar in the Bhagavatam is showing different aspects of Krishna. Krishna is Swayam, he's the original, so all the different qualities, the Aishwarya, Vishnu in fourth canto and third canto, you see, and then the Das avatars, second canto, they're mentioned in other places, and Varaha avatar in the third canto. All these different natures and qualities of the Lord are fully depicted in Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna Vrindavan, the power, the grandeur, the sweetness, the mercy, the justice, the love, the cleverness, the uniqueness, the unique forms of love that Krishna expresses in Vrindavan are somewhat similar to the unique forms of his Das avatars. And so Vamana represents the playful nature of the Lord, of Lord Krishna, and his clever nature. He appears to be stealing. Vamanadeva appears to be somewhat of a thief. He's stealing. He's misrepresenting himself. So I only want 3 steps of land. So Krishna did that same thing. He said, I'm only coming to take butter. All I want is a handful of butter. But he came to take a handful of butter and he took everything. He took everything, the hearts, their minds, bodies, hearts, everything. He stole everything. And the pretext. So Vamanadeva said, I only want 3 steps to land. Oh, you're so small. How big is Gopal's hand? Gopal in Balya Leela, when he's in Gokul, he's only 2-3 years old. 3.5, 3 years old. And that's when he did his main Makanchor Leela. Makanchorwala. He did it. He was 2, 3, 4. How big a hand does he have? How big is his hand? Very, very tiny, small hand. He's only 3 years old. 4 years old. And he's stealing makan butter. So Vamanadeva was only 4 feet tall. So how big are his feet? He says, I'll take 3 feet. So Bali Maharaj is thinking nothing. And he took everything. He took his family, his kingdom, his body, his mind, his heart, everything. Atmanavedanam. Atmanavedanam Bali Maharaj ki jai. So who is the greatest, who is the most clever of all? Not Bali, Gopal. Who took the most? Not Bali, Gopal. Who showed the most Atmanavedanam? Not Bali, the gopis. They're the perfectional form of Atmanavedanam, giving everything, even their dignity, their fame and name and legend, everything. Bali didn't give his fame and name. He became more famous. He maintained his dignity and he maintained his fame. He was promoted to the Patal Raj. The Lord of Sutal Loka, which is in the lower regions. And Vamanadeva stays there sometime with him as his gatekeeper, but not all the time. That's brought out in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He's not really there all the time, only there when he needs to be. But he is there, and he's famous as Upendra, as the younger brother. I believe he's the younger brother of Indra. So yes, and he's famous, right? He didn't lose his fame. And the gopis are called Kalankini. The gopis are, I say so many bad things about gopis. They haven't become famous by running after Krishna. They haven't become famous for their Atmanavedanam. They become defamed on one level, on society level. There's not all kinds of wonderful, beautiful words to glorify the gopis. But this Vamanadeva, Vamanadeva. Bali Maharaj is just Bali Maharaj. He doesn't have any other names, but The Lord is famous as Urukram, as the younger brother of Indra. At any rate, that is there because when you read nine devotees who attain perfection by Navaveda Bhakti, Bali Maharaj is called Atmanivedanam. But the fullest definition of Atmanivedanam is none other than the gopis. No one surrendered more than them. So his surrender is phenomenal in compared to any other ordinary bhakta. But when you go into the level of extraordinaire of the gopis, that orbit of devotees, then they are the supreme Atmanivedanam. They are the exemplars, perfect examples of the fullest extent of pure surrender. So we'll read about the Leela of the Lord. So the Vamana Leela is described over six chapters, 8th Canto Bhagavatam, chapter 18 through 23. So everyone can take out their textbooks. I'm sure everyone's carrying the 8th Canto with them. Chapter 18, we're reading the chapter summaries to give us an overview of the whole picture, the whole Leela. We'll read the summaries and try to picture the whole thing and get some idea of it as much as we can digest. This in brief summary, then it's an expanded summary. This describes how Vamanadeva appeared within the sacrificial. Bali Maharaj was doing a huge yajna. He was the king of the universe. He kicked out Indradevi sitting on his seat. And Aditi wasn't very happy about that. Aditi is the mother of Indra. And Kashyap, I suppose, is the father. Kashyap Muni and Aditi, they are the mother and father of the demigods. And Kashyap and Diti are the father and mother of the demons. Is that right? Diti is the mother of the demons. Diti, not Diti. Hmm? And the same father, same husband? Diti's husband must be someone else, I suppose. Anyway, Kashyap and his wife, Aditi, are the progenitors of the demigods. She's not happy because her son was the prime minister and he got kicked out of office. So naturally the mother would be, I want my son to be back in office, right? So she said to her husband, listen, how do we get our son back in office? Let's do a yajna. I can't do it. I don't have the power to overthrow Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj defeated our son Indra. So how powerful Bali Maharaj is. He's the king of the Daityas. His guru is Shukracharya, the guru of the demons. Just like tantric people, they have gurus. Tantric gurus that teach them how to potions and mantras and tantras so they can kill people, murder people. There's gurus for teaching people, teaching their chelas how to do murder. And all kinds of mantras and nakshatras and days to murder people and kill people. So there are teachers, some kind of guru, they call it guru, tantric gurus. So Shukracharya was the guru of the demons, the non-devotees. And who's the guru of the devotees, demigods? Brihaspati. Shukracharya, he's the guru behind Bali. Bali is so powerful. He's defeated Indra. So now, Kashyap and his wife do austerities, Aditi, and they give birth to a son who's a dwarf brahmachari, who's an incarnation. He's one of the Das Avatars. Keshavadrita Vamana is God, Vishnu. It will take Vishnu. Only Vishnu can defeat Bali. Powerful. So now he's appeared. He's, of course, been born, and he's appeared in the sacrificial arena, because this is where he appears and acts in his leelas. Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of Aditi completely. He appeared, actually, in the form of Lord Vishnu. First he appeared, as described, he had forearm form, just like Krishna in Mathura, Deviki Nandan, forearm Vishnu, Chakra, Padmagara, Shank. And then she said, wow, this is not so good. And then she was afraid for that. So then he appeared as a two-arm form, Deviki Nandan, human form, Manushrup. So he also appeared in the forearm form of Lord Narayan, Satchinanda Rupam. And he appeared on Shravan Dwadasi, when the Abhijit star had arisen. He was dressed in yellow garments. He appeared exactly like Lord Vishnu, obviously. Everything became happy. All the demigods, cows, brahmanas, they were happy because of God's appearance. This auspicious day is known as Vijay. So that's today. It's called Maha Vijay Maha Dwadasi Brat, which is today in the Hindi Panchans today. Vamanabhirbhav Utsav Ki Jai. His parents were astonished by his appearance. Then he suddenly appeared as a dwarf. All the great sages expressed their jubilation. And they performed the birthday ceremony of Vaman. The sacred thread, he was honored by the sun god Brihaspati and Bhumi Mata, Bhumi Devi, and deities of the heavenly planets, his mother Brahma Kuvera, the Saptarishis. Everyone came to honor Vamanadev. Vamanadev visited the Yagyashala on the side of the Narmada River, known as Bhrigu Kacha, where Brahmins of the Bhrigu dynasty were performing yagyas. He is wearing a straw belt made of Munjatavi, and he had an upper garment of a deer skin, sacred thread carrying his brahmachari danda in his hand, and his kamandalu, and an umbrella. Sometimes these Bhagavat Saptahawalas, they dress up a young boy. Singing. So then Vali Maharaj was doing his yagya. Then Vamanadev entered the arena of his yagya. He said, "Oh, look, Vaman has come." And the music is going, da 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 da. Then everybody turned and Vaman, there's an aisle, but the women sit on the left side, the men on the right side, and the aisle in the middle. And he's on the dais on the stage. And this little boy with a bamboo umbrella and a deer skin, very accurate type, danda and kamandalu, exactly like this picture you see in the Bhagavatam. He comes, beautiful, some Brahmin boy, beautiful, sweet face, walking down the aisle, glancing at everyone really slowly. And everyone's getting so excited, and all the ladies are like this. And he says, Vamanadev has come, and he comes, and they have some stage hands. They bring an asan out, and he sits on an asan to the right-hand side of Thakurji. And Thakurji goes like this, and Vamanadev. So then he's saying, Vamanadev has come, so everyone should offer charity to Vamanadev. So then all the servants go around with trays, and people, all the ladies were taking off their pearl necklaces and gold necklaces and rings, piling on the tray, and they offered them all to Vamanadev, and then of course to the Saptahawala. it was a big day. That was a big day for charity, that one. So this is Vamanadev. He entered the Yagyashala of Bali Maharaj. Because of his transcendentally effulgent presence, all the pundits were diminished in their prowess. Because pundits, they're effulgent, they're sattvic, and they're doing the yoga, swaha, swaha, then Vamanadev walks in. This huge Brahman Tejas. This Brahma Jyoti Tejas, not Brahman Tejas. Brahma Jyoti is Vishnu Rupam. Vamanadev, so powerfully, scintillatingly radiant, effulgent, blindingly effulgent. And everybody said, "Who's that?" They all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Vamanadev. Lord Shiva accepts on his head water generated from the toe of Vamanadev. So that indicates the position of Shiva. People say Shiva is God, and we say Krishna, one of his avatars, is a little boy, drops the water from his toe on the head of your Lord. So who's supreme, Vishnu or Shiva? The water falling off the toe of Vishnu is accepted with great honor on the head of Shiva. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Bali Maharaj immediately accepted the water of the Lord's feet on his head. So now the demon has taken the Abhishek, Vishnu Charanamrita, on his head. And by doing that, he felt that he himself and all his dynasty had been glorified. Certainly, that's true. Who's the father of Bali?
Virochan
Maharaj. And who's the father of Virochan? Prahlad Maharaj. And who's the father of Prahlad Maharaj?
Aranyakaji.
Boo. Who's the father of Aranyakaji? Kashyap Muni. Who's the father of Kashyap Muni? Lord Brahma. Who's the father of Brahma? The Uparwala. Uparwala ki?
Jai.
Lord Vishnu ki?
Jai.
Then Bali Maharaj inquired about Lord Vamanadev's welfare and requested the Lord, "My dear Lord, you have come to my kingdom. What can I give you in charity?" Would you like some dakshina? So he said, you take money, jewels, whatever you desire. That ends chapter 18. Turn to the next slide. Chapter 19. Lord Vamanadeva begs charity from Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj set himself up. He said, all right, my little friend, O Vamanadeva, O Lord, please, whatever you desire, whatever charity you want. This charity describes how Vamanadeva asked for Teenpada. Teenpada. Teenpada Bhagavan Aki. Trivakram. Trivakram. He asked for 3 paces of land and charity. That's what he did, and Bali Maharaj agreed to his proposal. So there's 3 actors here. Bali Maharaj, Vama Maharaj, and Shukracharya. And then it tells about how Shukracharya forbade his disciple from fulfilling Lord Vamanadeva's request. Sometimes that happens in modern world. Gurus tell their students, don't give any money to him. I've heard about it. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vamanadeva to be the son of a Brahmin, because he introduced himself and gave his particulars, S-O-D-O-S-O, when you appear somewhere, you identify yourself. I am Arjun. And then he say, what do you say? Gandiva Raj and Draupadi Sutta or Kunti Sutta. So Bali Maharaj says, who are you? He said, I'm Kashyap Sutta. I'm the son of Kashyap Muni. And so then he said, okay, he's the son of a Brahmin. And he also has Upanayam. He has Upavita. He's a Brahmin. So then I'll give you charity. He said, ask for anything you like. He said, Lord Vamanadeva praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for the heroic activities. Just see the wonderful dealings. Because Bali Maharaj is a descendant in the dynasty of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So Vamanadeva is saying, oh, Vamanadeva is that same person who came as Nrisimhadeva. Vamanadeva, he's offering prayers. He's glorifying his dynasty. Oh, you're the illustrious great-great-grandson or great-great-great-great-whatever his grandson. Because your father is Virochan, Bali. And your grandfather is Prahlad Maharaj, that great Vishnu Bhakta, oh, the great servant of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And your great-great-grandfather is Hiranyakashipu and your uncle, this, that. You're so fortunate. So he glorified him. They're great heroes. And after praising the family which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king, oh, you have a very glorious family. I only want 3 steps of land. Teen Pada Bhagavan Aki.
Yeah.
Bali Maharaj agreed to give this land in charity since it was very insignificant. But Shukracharya could understand that Vamanadeva was Vishnu, the anti-party, the demigods, the friend of the demigods. So he forbade Bali Maharaj to give this land. Shukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw your promise, break your promise, cross your fingers. He explained that in subduing others, in joking and responding to danger and acting for the welfare of others, there are different conditions in which it's all right to lie and cheat and break your promise. And there would be no fault. By this bogus philosophy, Shukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaj from giving land to Lord Vamanadeva. Now the plot thickens. It was a very happy meeting in the beginning. A charitable king, a deserving Brahmin, and then Shukracharya entered the picture. Now what's going to happen? Things are turning suspenseful. Who will win? Will virtue win over vice? Will Shukracharya, will the disciple follow his guru? Or will the disciple follow his heart? Or his super soul? What will he do? tune in next week. No, but there's one, just to get some flavor of Prabhupada's purports, there's one nice purport here that we'd like to read for the edification and illumination of all the assembled Vaishnav Raja Sabha. And this is describing about Lord Vishnu, or rather Lord Vamanadeva's preaching about the super senses. You've heard about supercars and Superman. Well, this is super senses. 8th canto, chapter 19, verse 24. Yadrichcha yo papanena santushto vartate sukam nas na santushtas chibir loker ajitatmo pashadite. Lord Vamanadeva is preaching. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny. For discontent can never bring happiness. If you're up, you're not happy with what you have. You know, one who is not self-controlled and will not be happy, even if he possesses the three worlds. So Vamanadeva, when all the incarnations of the Lord, they preach directly, tattva, and they preach indirectly through their leelas. They preach for the benefit of the conditioned souls. So this is direct preaching to the conditioned soul known as Bali Maharaj, who's in Maya, thinking he's the enjoyer, thinking he's the controller, thinking he's the creator and center of the universe, the Lord of the world. He's in heavy Maya. The Lord has come as a child to preach to him. And the preaching, of course, has its direct benefit for the member of the Leela, but has also benefit for all the readers and worshippers of the Bhagavatam. Because we tend to be dissatisfied with our circumstances. That's the nature of a misplaced jiva. The nature of a misplaced jiva is to be dissatisfied with the circumstances. The analogy that Prabhupada uses is a fish out of water. The proper medium and viable environment for a fish is water. It's his natural habitat. He's pleased and happy. He finds his food there. He finds his mate there. He finds his whole life and existence in the water. His birth, his life, his everything. But if you put him on the land, he's nowhere. He dies. It's an incompatible situation. Incongruent. Doesn't match. So the soul is like a fish out of water, a soul separated from God, a soul separated from the spiritual waters of devotional service, a soul separated from the spiritual waters of devotional service is like a fish out of water. It's unnatural. He pretends to flip and flap and breathe, and looks like he's alive, he's jumping. He's actually jumping to his death. The fish is going this way, that way, gasping for air, and finally dies and dries up in the hot sun. So we're moving this way, jumping in our planes, flipping in our planes, flopping in our cars, flip-flopping here and there, moving in this dry land of the body, and the soul is hankering for the waters, soul waters of service. So when we get put back there, then we can swim in the clear waters of devotional service, the happy waters. So this is, he's saying that, so until we get there, the soul will never be satisfied until he's connected to God. Externally, he may have nothing. He may be Niskinchan. Niskinchan sadhu, akinchan. He has no name, no fame, no clothes, anything. But he's swimming. He's in his natural habitat. He's connected to God in a loving embrace of service. He's peaceful, he's happy, he's content. This is the natural position of every jiva. Now, Vamanadeva is preaching all the avatars. They always preach the absolute truth as it is. In the purport, Prabhupada defines real happiness. The 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 21. Sukham adyantikam yattad buddhi grayam atindriyam veti yatra nachayavayam stitash chalati tattvata. In a spiritually joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established in this transcendental immovable position, one never departs from the truth. Prabhupada's commentary. This is why I said this is the title of this verse is Lord Vamanadeva preaches the super senses, the reality of the super senses. Super senses. Prabhupada was using very with-it language in his purports. This purport was written in this eighth canto was 1974 or 5. He was working on eighth canto. 36 years ago. Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One has to perceive happiness by the super senses. What are the super senses? Every one of us is a spiritual being, aham brahmasmi. And every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are now covered by material elements. And because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses. The real senses, however, are within the material covering. Within the covering of material elements are the spiritual senses. When the spiritual senses are uncovered, by these spiritual senses we can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is described. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. When the senses are engaged in devotional service to Rishikesh, then the senses are completely satisfied. Means, in other words, when our senses are engaged in serving Krishna, then we're completely satisfied. Without this superior knowledge, one may try to satisfy his material senses, but happiness will never be possible. If one is not trained to satisfy the spiritual senses and continues in material sense gratification, he'll never obtain happiness that is eternal and blissful. Prabhupada is explaining that our real senses are now covered by material elements. The real senses are within the material covering. We have some experience of that, the inner senses. Now listen closely, if you're awake. We hear that Krishna's Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritti Manti Yashyant Panti Kaldayanti Chandrayanti. That Krishna's senses are interchangeable. He can hear with his ear, he can hear with his eyes, see with his nose, all these things. We say, well, how is that possible? Because the Lord is, of course, unlimited. But we also have experience of that. In our external, when our soul and consciousness are acting with our external body, we can only see with these eyes. Smell with one nose, taste and speak with one mouth, hear with one ear, and touch with our hands. But we dream. In our dream, we can see in the dream. We can smell in the dream. We can taste in the dream, we can hear in the dream, and we can touch and be touched in the dream and feel in the dream. So all the five sense experiences we can have in the mind. The eye is not in the mind. They're all external organs and senses, elements. But the mind is doing all these things in the dream world, in the subtle world. So that's now, from that, we can understand that there's sent beyond these external senses by which we're touching people. Oh, I want someone to embrace me. I want someone to touch me. But in a dream, we're touching someone. So the mind is actually the touching agent. The mind is smelling the pizza in the dream. The mind is hearing in the dream. So the body, then that mind is working through this limited body. But if you go beyond the mind, higher than the mind is intelligence. Higher than intelligence is the Atma. course, is Ahankara and Atma. So the super sense, so just as the mind has sense, the mind is a total subtle entity, far away from these mundane material eyes and eyeballs and cornea and pupil and iris and all these things. Complete, and it's fully capable of seeing. So that means the super senses, it's very easy to make the next logical, reasonable leap or movement that the soul also has senses. The mind has senses. No one, you say, no, only the body has senses. The mind, I just proved how the mind has senses. Can you see the mind, weigh the mind? The mind has eyes. Is there eyeballs inside your mind? Generally, people think the mind is in here somewhere. You open your head and your mind is there somewhere. Brain, mind, whatever. It's always a discussion, brain, mind discussion. What's the brain? What's the mind? The mind is something that utilizes the brain and all this whole thing. Go on forever trying to figure it out. So there, higher than the mind is the soul, and the soul sees, and the soul hears. So the soul hears the vibration of the holy name. The soul sees the transcendental form of the Lord. The soul tastes the transcendental form of the Lord in prasadam. The soul smells the Lord's fragrance of his body. This is spiritual super senses. When we become liberated, then we have these experiences. One is in meditation. One is in meditation and lila in the siddhadeha and vishuddha sattva, the level of bhava. And he's totally in the lila, and he's getting sprayed with some colors and holy. Or he's carrying some perfume, some scented oil, some kasturi or musk oil, or kadamba oil to offer to Radharani. And somehow in his hurry, he's rushing to, or she in her mantri srupa is rushing to offer that oil. And she trips and drops the oil, and it sprinkles on her dress. And then when that devotee wakes up, then the fragrance of his dhoti or gumsho, whatever it is, dhoti is smelling like kadamba oil. Or he wakes up and on his white cloth of his dhoti has all red gulal colors and holy yellow and all these different colors. Because his soul was touched in the meditation, in his meditation, he's meditating in the lila, and then he came back. And just to show the people of this world how the soul is touching, the soul is smelling, the soul is hearing and seeing, even the fragrance, the whole kutir and the whole ashram became fragrant with kadamba fragrance, which he was experiencing, smelling in his soul. He was offering in his soul body, his siddhadeya. This is super sensual reality. And this awaits all of us. This is what it means, self-realization. Self-realization is a very individual, personal, sensual experience with the super senses and the super mind, the transcendental senses and transcendental mind. See Krishna with transcendental eyes, spiritual eyes. Prem anjana churita bhakti velochanena santak sadevir diyesha viloka yanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna sarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So now it's chapter 20. Is it? We read chapter 19? Yes? Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. After hearing the instructive advice of Shukracharya not to give any charity to Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj became contemplative. A householder to maintain dharma, art, and calm, he thought it was improper to withdraw his promise to the brahmachari, Bali. To lie or to fail to honor a promise given to a brahmachari is never proper, for lying is most sinful. Everyone should be afraid of the sinful reactions to lying, for Mother Earth cannot even bear the weight of a liar. This is in the introduction. That verse is there here in this chapter 21. Then, very interesting verse to hear about. Some people are very fond of lying. This is page 683, 8th canto, chapter 20, verse 4. This is being spoken by the demon, so to speak, Bali Raj, who is this grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Nayasat yat paro dharmo yiti ho vacha bur iyam sarvam shodam alamanye ritelika param naram alika param naram alika param naram manye rite alika. You know what alika means? A L long I K means alika means the most heinous liar. Alika param. Bali Maharaj said, after contemplating and thinking about what his guru Agya, Shukracharya gave him the Agya that he should renege on his promise to give charity of 3 paces of land to Vamanadeva. He should break his promise and not give that land. And now he's thinking, and this is what he's thinking. Actually, he's speaking this. He's actually speaking this, obviously, to Shukracharya. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing, the Andes Mountains, the Himalayan Mountains, the Swiss Alps, any sumo wrestlers, sumo cars, ocean liners, whales, Gila fish, Timmy Gila fish. But I can bear any heavy thing except a liar. Alika param naram. Naram, man. Alika param means a big time alika. A param alika means a big liar. So this is very common in Kali Yuga. Everyone is accustomed to speaking so many lies. No one is free from the sinful reactions of speaking lies. Under the circumstances, one can just imagine how overburdened the earth must be. Indeed, the entire universe must be extremely overburdened by the weight of the liars on this planet. The spreading of a kingdom or empire is temporary. If there is no benefit for the general public, such kingdom expansion has no value. Previously, all the great kings and emperors expanded their kingdoms, but they also cared about the people. Eminent men sometimes even sacrificed their lives for the people. One who is glorious in his activities is always living and never dies. One who does virtuous acts, he lives forever. His name is forever famous. Therefore, for the sake of fame and good reputation, there is not a loss. Bali Maharaj thought that even if this Brahmachari Vamanadeva, if he is Vishnu, if the Lord accepted his charity and then arrested him again, Bali Maharaj would not envy him. Considering all these points, Bali finally gave in charity everything he possessed. And Bali Maharaj expanded himself immediately into a universal body. By the mercy of Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj could see the Lord is all-pervading, that everything rests in his body. Bali Maharaj could see Vamanadeva as the Supreme Vishnu, wearing a helmet, yellow garments, Srivats, Kostuba gem, flower garland, and ornaments decorating his body. The Lord covered the entire surface of the world, and extending his body, covered the entire sky. His hands covered all directions, and with his second footstep, he covered the entire upper planetary system. Therefore, there was no vacant place where he could take his third footstep. So this is... Where will he put his third footstep? That is the question. There's nothing left in the universe. No land, no planets, no space. There's not even any place to put his foot, his little foot. Where will he put his foot? This is the question. So let's find out. Chapter 21. Bali Maharaj arrested by the Lord. With the second step, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, reached the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, which he diminished in beauty by the effulgence of his toenails. Brahma and great sages like Marichi, the predominating deities of all the higher planets, offered humble prayers and worship to the Lord. They washed the Lord's feet. Actually, in this chapter, we'll hear about the three origins of Ganga. There are three origins of Ganga. And they offered all paraphernalia. Rikshiraj Jambavan played his bugle to vibrate the glories of the Lord. Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions. The demons were very angry. Our king has been ripped off by Vamanadeva. Cheated. Vishnu. Bali Maharaj warned them not to do so. They took up weapons against Vishnu and attacked him. All of them were defeated instantly by the Lord's associates, the gatekeepers. Jai Vijay, Sunanda Nandan. There's 14 of them posted at 7 gates. So it's, you can bribe a few gatekeepers, but you can't bribe them all. So you can't bribe your way into Vaikuntha. You might get in 2 or 3 gates, but somewhere you'll get stopped and your credentials will be checked. Say, hey, wait a minute, you're a nindak. Go back and become a mendak. Nindak became a mendak. No mendak? Frog. Nindak is an offender and a mendak is a frog. The demons attacked. They're defeated. Bali Maharaj, by Lord Vishnu's eternal associates, in accordance with Bali Maharaj's order, they all entered the lower planets of the universe. He sent them down. He said, get down, boys. He said, Bali's the king. He's an Indraloka. And they all rose up from the lower planets, all the demons, subterranean planets, to attack. And he said, hey, you stupid, go get down. Go back there. So they went back there. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Garuda immediately arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. When Bali was reduced to a helpless position, Lord Vishnu asked him, well, what about the third step, Bali? Where's the third step? Because Vishnu appreciated Bali Maharaj's determination and integrity. When Bali Maharaj was unable to fulfill his promise, Lord Vishnu ascertained that the place for him would be planet Sutala, which is better than the planets of heaven. So this is chapter 21. So we'll read about the origin of the Ganga. Gange, Gange, Gange. Anyone who recites the name Ganga 3 times, even if he's 800 yojanas away from the Ganga, will get the benefit of bathing in Ganga, according to the Skanda Puran. There's 3 origins of the Ganga. Please tell me the 3, sir. It's told in 2 different cantos that way. One canto, it says, Brahma's Kamandalu, he just simply poured out some water and washed it. And the water that came off his foot became known as the Ganga. There's a name of that Ganga. There's Alakananda Ganga and this Ganga, that Ganga. I forget which is which. And then the other one is, as you said, the second step of Vamanadeva went all the way up to the, because he covered the whole universe, which means, yeah, the end of the universe is the causal ocean. And then that washed his foot and came down as a Ganga. And the third one is Lord Narayan appears himself as a Ganga. Elsewhere it's stated that Lord Narayan appeared as the water of the Ganga. The water of the Ganga is therefore a combination of these transcendental waters. This description is given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his purport to 8th canto, chapter 21, verse 4, translated by Srila Prabhupada and notated in the BBT Bhagavatam. Vishnu. And of course, we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that in Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in, it says, Krishna's Kaviraj is saying, that Lord appears in two forms in Kali Yuga. One is Daro Brahman and one is Ganga. So the Lord means Narayan. So this is confirmed here. Narayan himself is the Ganga and the cause of the ocean, and Brahma's water pot. And there's a variation on the theme that Brahma catches the cause of the ocean, he bathes also. Now chapter 22 or 24. Chapter 22. Balia Maharaj surrenders his life. Jivana Marana. Balia Maharaj was extremely truthful. He was not a liar. Being unable to keep his promise, he was very much afraid. Deviating from truthfulness is insignificant. For he knew that one who has deviated from truthfulness becomes insignificant in the eyes of society in those days. If someone lies, he's considered a worthless wretch, reject. Now lying is a common standard. An exalted person can suffer the consequences of hellish life, but he's very much afraid of being defamed for deviation from the truth. Bali Maharaj agreed with great pleasure to accept the punishment awarded to him by Vamanadeva. In Bali Maharaj's dynasty, there were many asuras who, because of their enmity and envy of Vishnu, had achieved a destination much more exalted than the greatest of mystic yogis. Bali Maharaj specifically remembered the determination of his great-grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, or his grandfather, in bhakti. Considering all these points, he decided to give his head as charity for the third step of Vamanadeva Vishnu. Bali also considered how great personalities give up their family relationships and material possessions to satisfy God. And sometimes even sacrifice their lives for the satisfaction of the Lord, just to become his personal servants. Accordingly, by following the footsteps of previous acharyas and devotees, Bali Maharaj perceived that he was successful. If I'm following the tradition of my family, like Prahlad, and being determined to be truthful and surrender to Vishnu, and I'm following the tradition of great acharyas and great saints, and I can never go wrong. He was arrested by the Varunapash. He was offering prayers to the Lord. His grandfather Prahlad appeared there. Prahlad Maharaj ki, Bhakta Prahlad ki. He came to Indraloka, to the Raja Sabha, Bali Maharaj's Raj Sabha. And there was Bali Maharaj, his grandson, tied with the ropes of Varuna. What specifically is the ropes of Varuna? It's snakes or what? Because there's Nagapash, which is snakes, but this is also snakes?
Snakes, Varuna.
Because there's so many snakes in the ocean. So Bali Maharaj was doing lots of manavichara, lots of consideration. So he gave his head and charity. So Prahlad Maharaj has arrived there, and he started describing how the Supreme Personality of God had delivered Bali by taking his possessions in a tricky way. Krishna is very tricky. Krishna is also tricky with every devotee. Anyone who actually surrenders to Krishna and takes diksha, then he sees how tricky Krishna is. Vamanadeva is dancing in everyone's lives. There's a little Vamanadeva moving in every devotional life. He's coming in, he takes one step and sweeps away your friends, takes another step and sweeps away your attachments, takes away another step and, like this, sweeps away your ego. So he's taking every devotee, as he advances, Vamanadeva starts taking more steps. Step by step, He's taking us back to Godhead. Anukram. This is the way it's working. Trivikram is walking in everyone's life. Vamanadev. Step by step. Inch by inch. Because we have to give everything. The whole Bhagavad Gita is the walking of Vamanadev. Let me show you the step through. I have these, well, they have the step through program.
Walk through.
Let me show you the walk through. So this is a common term here, the walk through. So Vamanadeva is walking through everyone's lives. Chapter 1 of the Bhagavad Gita is step 1 of the walk through, then step 2. So the Bhagavad Gita is like Vamanadeva. Step 1, Karma Yoga. Step 2, Sankhya Yoga. Step 3, Bhakti Yoga. So the third step was bhakti, because the first two took away everything non-bhakti. Karma Yoga and Sankhya Yoga is non-bhakti. So the first two steps that Vamanadeva took were all the non-bhakti, because he wasn't surrendering. Those represented unsurrender. When he offered his head, that represented surrender, and that represented bhakti. Bhakti means surrender. It begins with surrender. Guru Parashraya, surrender, Sharanagati. There's six levels of surrender. So the Bhagavad Gita is Vamanadeva, and Vamanadeva is in everyone's life. So two steps Vamanadeva has to enter everyone's life, and with two steps he has to take everything non-essential. And all that's left is the opportunity to offer our head, bow our heads and surrender. And when we surrender to Guru, bhakti begins. So Karma Yoga is the first step, Sankhya Yoga is the second step, and the third step is bhakti, you offer your head. Interesting outlook in the Bhagavad Gita. So we have, because Gyan Shunya Bhakti. Anyabhilashita Shunyam Gyana Karmadhyanamritam. It has to be free. Gyana Karmadhyanamritam. All this. So the covering of Gyan and Karma. So that covering of Gyan and Karma is the Sankhya Yoga sections of the Gita. The covering of Gyan and the covering of Karma is the Karma Yoga sections. First six chapters is the covering of Karma. And the last six chapters is the covering of Gyan. In the middle is the Bhakti. Anukulya. That's favorable. Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam. These are the favorable practices of the bhakti. Chapters 7 through 12. So Prahlad Maharaj is there and saying, hey, you're lucky. He tricked you. One way or another, we have to be tricked back to Godhead. Hook or by crook, sell the book. By hook or by crook, sell the book. That was the motto in the early days. I think they modified it. Got us in a lot of trouble because we did a lot of hooking and a lot of crooking. We did a lot of hooking and a lot of crooking, and we sold a lot of bookings. A lot of bookings, and sometimes we were also booked. At least three or four times we were booked on Sankirtan. We're just selling books on the street, and I arrested all the Sankirtan devotees, took them to jail, put them in the San Francisco jail for the weekend, and booked us. And we went to trial on Monday and got off. Our lawyer got us off. So hooking, crooking, booking, and we got booked. We distributed the books, so we got booked. It's a term in criminal law. When you get booked, means they give you some, I don't know, whatever, put you in jail. Give you special clothes to wear and take your Brahmin thread because they think you'll strangle yourself. And they take off your neck beads because you may strangle yourself. And they take off your kopins because you may strangle yourself on your kopins. So you're left with your prison fatigues. Back to the bhakta program. Yogi pants and a kurta. While Prahlad was present, Lord Brahma and Bali's wife Vindyavali described the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Since Bali had already given everything to the Lord, his wife and his well-wishers prayed for his release from the Varunapash. I mean, after all, he did give his head, and if you can untie him, it would be nice. Then the Lord described, but there was one lady in the audience who was unhappy. Who is that lady?
Sister.
What was her name?
Putana.
No. Ratna. Ratna something.
Ratnavali.
Ratnavali. Ratnarangini. No. Ratnavali. So she, when she saw Vamanadeva enter the arena, she said, oh, he's so cute. He's so soft and so gentle, so innocent, so sweet. I wish I was, oh, his mother must be so fortunate to cuddle him in her arm, to cuddle him in her arms and embrace him to her bosom and to offer her breast to him and to feed him her breast milk. She's so fortunate. I wish I could be his mother. Huh? What's this? You're expanding yourself in the Vrata Rupa and taking and stealing my brother's kingdom with two steps, and now you may turn them into, you're tied him up with this Vrunapash and through his head is at your feet. He's the king of the universe, Indra's trembling in his presence and hiding in a lotus stem, and all the demigods are crying, and you're insulting my illustrious, glorious brother like this, the king of the universe. I'll kill you. I'll poison you. I'm not going to offer milk with these breasts. I'll put poison to kill 100 men on my breasts, and I'll kill you, you rascal. That's what she was thinking. And Krishna and Vamanadeva said, hey, look, relax. It's okay, cool. Chill out. Then he simply said mentally, because he understood this is what she was thinking. Her mind was screaming this, although she wasn't speaking it. Her mind was screaming these things I said. Ratnavali's, the sister of Vali, is screaming these thoughts and desires to nourish and to kill, to nourish and to poison Vaman. So Vaman understood that. So in his mind, he said, Bhavatu. Bhavatu, Bhavatu. It's in commentaries. Let it be. And the all-inclusive Lord is Krishna. He picks up all the remnants from all the previous avatars, and he picks up all the remnants from all the previous ages. What is unfulfilled? This is the Parishishta Leela. It's called Parishishta Leela, the fulfillment Leela. Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, the Parishishta Leela, means the unfinished business of all the other avatars of the Lord in all the other ages. They leave some unfinished work. Like the father may start a construction project of a huge skyscraper building and he dies midstream. So his son finishes the work. Agarwal and Sons, contractors or whatever. So this is the fact that what Ram left undone, what Vishnu left undone, what the Vamana and so many avatars left undone, then Krishna, he corrected it. A lady approached Ram for a conjugal union to be his surrendered queen. He cut her nose off. Not very obliging. Not very cooperative. But he said, okay, Bhavatu, but not me, him. I have to go to the ATM Lord. The ATM Lord, anytime mercy, all time mercy. So then Shapurnaka appeared in Krishna Leela as Trivakra. Trivakra means bent in three places. Why bent in three places? Well, she was cut in three places as Shapurnaka. Nose and ears. So Bali had given everything. Everyone's praying for his release, except his sister. She's praying to poison him. The Lord then described how a non-devotee's possession of wealth is a danger, whereas a devotee's opulence is a benediction from the Lord. Then being pleased with Bali Maharaj, the Supreme Lord offered his disc to protect Bali Maharaj and promised to remain with him. So that was chapter 22. Chapter 23, the demigods regain the heavenly planets. Haribo! 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 So Bali Maharaj got kicked out. He went to Sutta Loka. Indra re-entered the heavenly planets. And he experienced that the highest gain in life is to attain Krishna Bhakti in the shelter of the Lord. Fixed in his conclusion, his heart was full of ecstatic love, his eyes were full of tears. He offered obeisances to Vamanadev, and then with all his associates went to Sutala Loka. Vaman was satisfied. He satisfied a desire of Aditi, reinstalled her son Indra as king, and Prahlad, aware of Bali's release from arrest, described the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. He praised the Lord for creating a material world. He praised the Lord for being equal to everyone. And he praised him for being extremely liberal to the devotees, like a desire tree. The Lord is like a desire tree for his devotees. Prahlad Maharaj said that the Lord is not only kind to his devotees, but also demons. He described the unlimited causeless mercy of God. With folded hands, Prahlad offered respectful obeisances, circumambling to the Lord, and he went to Sutala Loka as per the Lord's order. Shukracharya started to describe the faults of Bali Maharaj. Vamanadeva ordered Shukracharya to describe Bali Maharaj's faults and discrepancies in executing the yajna. Shukracharya became free from freedom of actions by chanting the holy name of the Lord, and he explained how chanting can diminish all the faults of the conditioned soul. He then completed Bali Maharaj's sacrificial ceremony because Bali left. All the great saintly persons accepted Vamanadeva as a benefactor of Lord Indra, because he returned the heavenly planet to Indra. They accepted God as their maintainer of all the affairs of the universe. Happily, Indra, with his associates, placed Vamanadeva before him and re-entered the heavenly planets. He honored his younger brother and went to the heavenly planets. How wonderful, having seen the wonderful activities of Vishnu in the arena of Bali, the demigods and saints, Pitas, Bhutas, and Siddhas, glorified Vamanadeva again and again. The most auspicious function of any conditioned soul is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So that's a beautiful, happy ending to this pastime. There's one more chapter. This is chapter 23. And there's a very nice verse here, page 795, how Shukracharya is glorifying Nam Sankirtan. And that, of course, is our life and soul. So we want to hear about that. Even the demigods, even the demons can appreciate the power and value of Nam Sankirtan. As the one and only successful yajna for the age of Kali. Of course, this pastime of Vamanadeva took place in what yuga? Treta Yuga? I believe it's Treta Yuga. Or Satya, either one. It's either end of Satya Yuga or beginning of Treta Yuga. I'm not clear when this Vamana Leela was. And then this is chapter 23, verse 8, 16, spoken by Shukracharya, who is a great master of yajna and homa. Mantratas chidram desha kalarha vastuta. Sarvam karoti nishchidram anu sankirtanam tava. Sarvam karoti nishchidram. In yajna, there's some fault or problem. In the performance of yajna, there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras. Mantra, chidram. Chidram means what? Same as Hindi. Chidram means faults. Faults, dosh, discrepancies. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the tantras or principles. And there may be faults regarding kala, desha, and patra and dravya. Dravya dosh, kala dosh, desha dosh. Chidram, or discrepancies, are faults in relation. It's the wrong time, it's not the right nakshatra, titi, lagna, etc. The wrong place, it's not a Kurukshetra, Dhammakshetra, it's not a sanctified proper place, or it is a sanctified place and it's become defiled in the middle of the night. It's all cow dunged out and red string and all this and purified, and some mad dogs run through at night and pass urine there, and it dries in the cow urine, you don't see it, so it's already contaminated. Many, many faults are possible. And persons, the Brahmins, faulty Brahmins and paraphernalia, that's the big one. Dravya dosh, which we discussed in a class in Delhi, Bhagavatam class. Gopal, pure Deshi Ghi.
There goes the Dravya.
You open the top and it's totally suffered white buffalo ghee. Goat ghee, buffalo ghee, dog ghee, all mixed up together. 20% animal fat, 10% camel fat, this, that, the other thing. All bones boiled together. When you boil a bunch of dead animal bones together, all the fat comes up and it's white in color. Scoop it all off, mix in with buffalo fat, which is white, and get all this wonderful pure Deshi ghee they sell in India. It's all knuckly, contaminated animal fat. 20, 30, 40, 50%, every single drop. Nitaigor. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Nishchidram. All dosh faults are removed. Everything becomes mangalam, pavitram. Blissful. Auspicious, pure. And Kali Yuga is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in the age of Kali is nothing but Nam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Yajna Sankirtana Priyar, Yajantihi Sumedasham. Shukracharya is giving, he's saying we should take the advice, Prabhupada's saying, of Mahaprabhu. Shukracharya was a strict Brahmin addicted to smart ritualistic activities. But he actually admitted it in all honesty, because when you're standing before the truth, you can't help but be truthful. When you're standing before the sun, you can't help but become illuminated. It's hard to show darkness in front of the sun. It runs. Darkness and sunlight don't exist, can't coexist. So in the presence of the Absolute Truth, Vamanadeva, Vishnu, Shukracharya could not pull the wool over his eyes. He could not lie. The radiance of the Absolute Truth, the power, Absolute Truth personified, is standing there. So even Shukracharya, who is expert at diplomacy, expert at tactfulness, expert at pranic manipulation, expert at dharma and smarter regulations and bending this way and that way, nisprayaschitta, and that way and this way to appease and satisfy his jajamans, the demons, even he had to admit the truth. Because his whole show is based on yagyas and homas, Shukracharya. He's engaging a demigods in one yagya after another. Ashwamedha yagya, Gomedha yagya, this one, yagya, yagya, yagya. Getting some good bhakshis also. Good dakshina. Big yagya, big dakshina. But now he's saying, well, actually, those yagyas are faulty. Chidram dosh. He's admitting it. Nishchidram manusankirtam. My Lord, constant chanting of your holy name makes everything perfect. Jiva Goswami is recommended in Sandarbhas, even in doing puja, Shringar, Archan, Archamurti Seva, Shringar Seva, deity worship. It must be accompanied by always chanting the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, in our ISKCON centers, we give special stress to chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chapter 24. What are the boons and benedictions? So we have a few for you. This is verse 28, chapter 23. Sarvam etan mayak yatam bhavatak kulanandana urukramasya charitam urukram. Bhagavan urukram vamanadev ki.
Jai.
Bhagavan shivakram vamanadev ki.
Jai.
Urukramasya charitam shrotrinam aga mochanam. Aga. Agasora. Aga means sin. Mochan. I have described everything about the wonderful activities of Vamanadeva. Anyone who hears about this is freed from the results of sinful activities. Text 30. Ya idam devadevasya hare adbhuta karmana avataranucharitam shinvanyati param gatim. Shukadeva says, if one hears about the uncommon activities, adbhuta hari karma, hare adbhuta karmana, if one hears about the uncommon activities of Vamanadeva in Krishna's various incarnations, he is elevated to the higher planets. And if he doesn't like that, he's even brought back home, back to Godhead. Harivo yati param gatim. For some people, param gatim means swargamukti. And for others, more intelligent souls, param gatim means Vishnupad, to go to the land of Vishnu. Kriyamane karmanidam daive pitri yata manushe jatra jatra nukirtyeta tattesham sukritam vidu. These are three wonderful benedictions in one. Whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic sacrifice, ceremony, a ceremony to please the demigods or please one's forefathers in Pitri Loka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. In the Vedic culture, even in recent day Hindu functions, Pitri Shraddh, of course, Ashwin Krishna Paksha, the 2 weeks of Ashwin Krishna Paksha, which is in a few days starting after Purnima, starts Ashwin Mai. That's when you do 2 weeks of Shrad, Pind or Shrad, you call it Shrad. And then usually the reading of this Leela Vamanadeva is performed in the house during that time. That's what it's saying here. During a Pitri Yagya, Manush Yagya, or Daiva Yagya. So these three kinds of ceremonies, if one chants this, then it'll be all auspicious.